All right, are we ready for God's Word this Easter Sunday?
Yes.
Let me ask that again. Are we ready for God's Word this Easter Sunday?
Yes.
Better, thank you. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. We have been on a series on God, Where Are You? And this morning will culminate the conclusion of that series with an emphasis on what the resurrection of Jesus Christ has provided for us. You know, we have said that in life, there are some difficult times in life, that there are some downturns economically, that there are some reverses of fortune, if you would, on our behalf. So, you know, we don't always have it pleasant. Life is not smooth sailing. Amen. But thank God, Jesus said, in this life you will have troubles, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. So we serve a Savior that has overcome a world full of troubles. And Jesus said, though in this world you have troubles, in me you will have peace. How many of y'all are thankful for that peace that is beyond human description? Amen. I thank God, you know, when my mind's saying you should be worried, you should panic, you should stress, and all of a sudden in my heart I have all nothing but peace. I'm like, I don't have to stress. My Savior is with me. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, please. We're going to read one verse of Scripture. We're going to read, let's read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us, or has given us a new birth to a what? What are the two words? To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ has given us what? What two words? A living hope. Now, church family, listen, I have met a few Debbie Downers in my journey of following Jesus Christ, 39 years this past Thursday to the day, Thursday, April the 1st, 1982. Had just watched the program, you know, had a friend in high school talk to me about Jesus, and it made perfect sense to me. And I knew that without Jesus, I was going to hell. And that night, the Spirit of God came upon my heart and softened my heart. I remember leaving the family as they were all still in the living room watching TV. I walked into my bedroom by myself. I knelt by my bedside and I was in tears. My journey of faith began in tears, and I have experienced many tears since then. And I said, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. And I'm telling you, the feeling that came over me was just unimaginable. It was this joy, this peace, and the love, a love like I had never, ever felt before. Wow, if that doesn't rattle your cage, baby, I don't know what will. But it was profound. I had a profound spiritual experience. And listen, from that point on, I began to follow Jesus with this view. And the longer I follow Jesus, the more of that living hope that I've come to understand. And let me begin by saying, church family, that because we have been born again into a living hope, God's people, of all the people in the world, should be a people of hope.
Amen.
Amen? We have a living hope. The book of Proverbs says that the way of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day.
Wow, Joe, you don't understand. You know, I have these back pains. I have these, I have this other pain. I have these headaches. I have this. You don't understand, young son, you little whippersnapper. I remember when I was in my 50s, I was running marathons, and you'll learn in 10 years, son. You'll learn in 10 years. You're going to need knee replacement surgery. All the guys that have always told me that, they got their knee replaced before I did. I'm still waiting on mine. It got quiet, except for Tim. Everybody's like, brother, you're making me nervous now. And I hope I didn't say something to you, Pastor Joe. I didn't mean it. You run like the wind. Moving right along.
Listen, we ought to be a people of hope. We serve a God of all hope. Yo, baby, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And I don't hear her gargling. Amen? Listen, we are a people of hope. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, one of the most beautiful verses of Scripture in the entire Bible. God says, these are my plans for you. They're not to harm you. They are to prosper you. God is after your prosperity, prosperity of your spiritual life, your emotional life, your physical life, your social life, and yes, your financial life. I got quiet on that one, right? You're just like those preachers, money, money, money. Well, you wouldn't like Jesus because he always talked about money, money, money. Jesus talked more about money, money, money than he did about heaven or hell. Oh, come on, somebody. He says, God says, I will give you hope and I will give you a future. And that's God's last word over your life. It is not tragedy. It is not sickness. It is not disease. It is not poverty. It is not being... Help me with this, Terry. Busted, broke, busted flat in New Orleans. Did I get it right? So listen, church family, God's final note over our lives is hope. We need to be a people of hope. Did not Jesus say all things are possible with God? All things are possible with God. Didn't Jesus also say all things are possible to him or her who believes? Don't you think there's a correlation between all things are possible with God? Everybody can say amen till the cows come home, but then we switch it over to us. All things are possible to him who believes. Well, Joey, you don't understand. I used to believe the way you believe, son, but you haven't experienced much of life yet. You just wait, buddy. You know what? I've been waiting. I'm in my middle 50s in actually a week from tomorrow, so just pray about it. Starbucks cards are accepted in this from this pulpit. Let's see what else is accepted. Texas Roadhouse spends pretty well. Now I'm all about money, money, money. I need to quit. Listen, God gives us a living hope. Because Jesus is alive. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 19, because I live, you will live also. Amen. That is hope. Listen, if I have hope in the future, I have power in my present. Amen. And we all have hope in our future. Don't let the devil convince you otherwise. The devil is a liar. He is a deceiver. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus has come to give us life. I'm going to quote it out of the Amplified Bible. Life to the full. Life abundant to the full until it overflows. Is that the life you want? That's a life I want. Listen, baby, we only get one shot at this life. Might as well make the best of it. You know, some of you, who all grew up with watching the Partridge Family? That song always comes to my mind. I think I love you, so what am I so afraid? Anyway, some of you young people are like, what is possessed this man? So, who remembers David Cassidy? Yo, all you ladies, oh my gosh, ladies, you're still swooning over that brother. In his later years, he did not have that long flowing hair and that beautiful smile. His capillaries over his face were burst because that brother had a problem. Can we talk about him a little bit?
No.
No? Okay, Miss Connie, I'm done asking questions. We're going to talk about him. Bless the Lord. Gosh, what do you guys have? What does he have over you, ladies?
We're wondering the same thing about Cynthia.
Oh! We're going to edit that out, Miss Sheila. And the next comment coming from that area will be excused from this church service. We're going to have a big hook. Goodbye. Anyway, so you know, one of the things he said before he died, he was a very gifted man. And, you know, the Lord blessed him with looks, of course. And he had a singing talent that, you know, launched his career as a singer, also as an actor, as a performer. At the end of his life, he told his daughter before he died, he said these words, "So much wasted time. So much wasted time." As he looked back on his life, he reflected. He was thinking, you know, I had a lot of talent. I had a lot of opportunity. I made a lot of money. I made a lot of people happy through my talent. Nonetheless, I wasted my life. Now, church family, listen, Jesus gives us hope and the future. But I don't want to be at the end of my life and look back and say, so much wasted time. As a recipient of a living hope, how could any of us come to the end of our lives and say, I've wasted my life? With Jesus in our lives, how many of y'all know that he will spare you from a life of chaos and drama? Yo, baby, I once lived in the land of stupid. I had my passport stamped in the land of stupid many times over. And then finally, the Lord reached me and I said, I don't have to be a citizen of the land of stupid anymore. I'm a citizen of God's kingdom. The kingdom of the Son He loves. The kingdom of light. A kingdom of hope. A kingdom of hope and a future for our lives. Listen, let's not be like that at the end of our lives we say so much wasted time. Why not say, you know, I'm gonna go by way of the earth with a heart full of contentment and gratitude and satisfaction that I lived a life that was honoring and pleasing to my God. Amen? There is no greater satisfaction than to leave this planet with that in your heart. And then on the other side of heaven, hearing from Him, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that what we want? We're a people of hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a psalm that I want us to look at, Psalm 51. Did we show David Cassidy's mug? Yeah, there it is. Everybody, ladies, wave at him. I'm sure he'll wave back. Thank you. Let's read Psalm 51, verse 10 out of the Message Bible. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Let me break that down for you. God, who's ever prayed, God, make a fresh start in me? Amen. You know what I found? When I first got saved, I thought I would only have to pray that once. Boy, was I wet behind the ears. How many of y'all know that sometimes we have to pray that prayer over and over? Lord, I messed up. Lord, I messed up in this area. Lord, make a fresh start. You know, I don't think that'd be a bad prayer to pray every day. Well, for some of you heathen, but for some of us spiritual people, no, I'm just teasing Terry. You're like, you're disinvited from lunch. I'm teasing, man. So listen, we have to pray, God, make a fresh start for my life. Make a fresh start in me. Give me eyes of hope. Amen. Some of us, listen, when we have gone through difficult times and are sitting on the ash heaps of ruin, of devastation in our lives, we need to pray, Lord, make a fresh start in me. How many of us know that before the externals change, that the internal heart must change first? Amen. Lord, change my heart. Make a fresh start in me. And then God makes that fresh start in us. And then He begins to change the external. Friends, your externals are not your problem. It is the inside of us. To rearrange, to change the externals of your life without changing your inside, that'd be like shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic. It's all going down. Right? Well, Pastor Joe, if God only gave me a better wife. Well, if God only gave me a better husband, I have to be the spiritual head of this household. Bless the Lord, and I'm tired of it. Oh, gosh. We can go on and on, but it's not the external. Notice the next part of the verse. He says, shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Let's all say it. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. What is a Genesis week? In the beginning. Remember in the book of Genesis? 7 days. On the seventh day, God rested. 6 days he created. That is a Genesis week. He says, shape a Genesis week. First off, in Genesis, listen, God, the Hebrew word for create in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth is a Hebrew word bara. Bara, which means to create something out of nothing. God, how many of y'all know that God can create something good out of the devastation of your life? Amen. Out of nothing in your life. I'm telling you, I went through a very dark season after my ex decided to divorce me. And it seemed like every demon in hell, I can only talk about my experience, every demon in hell, it seemed like it was open season on me. I was out of ministry after a couple decades in it, a little over a couple decades in it, and it seemed like everything that could go wrong in my life went wrong. I mean, we're talking some painful stuff. People that I thought were close friends of mine, in one day, overnight, turned their back on me and refused to talk to me. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. But listen, I'm here to tell you that God began creating, shaping a Genesis week. He created something good of my life from nothing. Did God begin with a plot of land to create? No. God said, let there be light. And light was. I was once reading a book, The Case for the Creator. Forget the guy's name. He was a former Chicago Tribune reporter. Lee Strobel, thank you, gave his life to the Lord. And he said that he did extensive research on creation. He said that the creationist scientists believe that everything came. If you look at, when you're reading a book, look at a period next time. Look at the size of that little period, that dot matrix. He said everything was created from something that size. What the scientists are saying. Did God truly create something good out of nothing? Notice what he said. Every day he said it was good. God saw what he had made and he said it was good. Go with me to Genesis 1 and I'll illustrate something that perhaps we haven't noticed before that I want to draw your attention to. So far, so good, everybody, church family. Are we doing good? We're talking about God shaping a Genesis week from our lives. Genesis chapter 1. Let's begin reading with verse 3. Genesis 1, 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Notice. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So notice carefully, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Go down with me to verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Go down with me to verse 13. So the evening and the morning were the third day, and it repeats itself throughout the chapter. And the evening and the morning were the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day. Let me ask you a question. What part of the day do our days begin with? Morning. And they end with? Let me ask you this other question. In God's mind, when does the day begin?
Evening.
And it ends with? So could we say that in God's mind, the day begins with darkness and ends with light? Don't you think that the psalmist said, create, shape a Genesis week? Lord, bring me out of the darkness. Bring me into your light. There's another scripture I want us to see. Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in what? The Lord will be my light. God will bring us out of darkness, no matter how deep that darkness is. All we'll be able to see in that darkness is this beautiful hand, a loving hand reaching for us, reaching for our hand so that we can grasp His hand, even though we can't see anything, and trust Him to lead us from the darkness, out of the darkness, and into His light. How many of y'all would agree with me that at some point in your life, God led you out of darkness into light?
Amen.
If you're saved, baby, how many of y'all know we were children of darkness?
Amen.
And we came into the marvelous light of the glory of God through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You feel it, right, sister? Listen, my friends, this is real hope. Are you placing your hand in the hand of the one that can lead you out of darkness? Out of despair, out of despondency, out of desperation, out of depression, and into the light of hope? He'll do it for you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your precious word that is more valuable than silver and gold and is sweeter than honey. And truly is sustenance to our souls, Lord. Father, I pray for us here present, for any who might be watching online. God, I pray that if they have not accepted Jesus Christ, that if they have not placed their hand into the hand, the loving hand of the Savior, to lead them out of darkness and into light, that they would do it. Friend, if you're that person, let me lead you in a prayer. You can repeat the words in your heart. In fact, I'll have everybody repeat these words out of your mouth, please. But you put the meaning to it. Say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I open my heart to you. Jesus, come into my life. Be my spiritual leader. The forgiver of all my sins. I give you my life. Jesus, I take your hand now. Lead me out of this chaos and darkness. And out of you into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you guys for praying that with me. Wow, every time I pray that prayer, it seems like I myself am born again all over again. It's crazy. But listen, I want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer, you are now a child of God. If you added meaning in your heart to that prayer. Was it that simple, Joe? Well, Jesus paid the price. It's that easy. That's how you enter a relationship with God. And He gives us living hope.